This is Archer, archerradio.com. Today is Wednesday, December, Tuesday, December 12th, 2006. And I am listening to some, I know no one's going to like this music, but I don't care. This is Kenny G, that crazy guy with the guy with the crazy hair who plays the saxophone and alto sax and all that. I just happen to like this music. It's very relaxing Christmas music, so I'm just going to have this going on in the background. You know, just because I like it. I mean, what do you not like about this? I don't know. I just happen to like it, so I'll just try to keep it low in the background so it doesn't bother anybody. How's that? I think that's pretty good. Anyway, so today is Tuesday. I don't know why I thought it was Wednesday. That's crazy. But today's Tuesday, and first up is that The Amazing Race season finale was Sunday night, and the models, the boy models, the frat boy models won the 1 million... Oops, sorry. If you haven't seen the show yet, I just ruined it for you. Sorry. Spoiler alert. The little boy models won the $1 million prize on The Amazing Race. And now, the thing is, I have to say that I think the season finale was very anticlimactic, because there was a short time there where I thought it was going to be very close, neck and neck, because all three teams were in the airport, and they were all three trying to get on a flight from Paris to New York. And as it turns out, the Bama girls, the first woman team to make it into the final three, missed the flight, or were unable to get seats on the flight. I should say they didn't miss the flight, they were unable to get seats. And so then you knew it was down to the last two teams. And then it was even more anticlimactic, because when they were showing them driving from the airport in the taxi cabs, they showed how, you know, how it was impossible for the other team to win, because the one taxi cab did not have a smart pass to get through the toll road, so they had to, or the bridge, so they, it took longer to get them there, so it was obvious who was going to win. So I just felt it was anticlimactic, and that was certainly not the team I wanted to win. I wanted the Bama girls to win for some reason. But anyway, now the Amazing Race is over for this season, but at the end of the show, they did announce what Big Fatty told us earlier, that they're going to be having an all-star Amazing Race, and they said it's going to be coming out in February. So I have that to look forward to. So, but I still like my Amazing Race and my reality shows, although Survivor isn't doing it too much for me anymore. I still think we're not down to, you know, a manageable amount of people to keep track of and care about, let's say. So anyway, that's the Amazing Race. Now, one thing I did finally finish were my Christmas cards. Now, here's the thing about Christmas cards. I did like 36 this year. And, you know, you have to think about so much when you're sending out the Christmas cards. First of all, I don't know if anybody else does this, but I keep a list of who I got Christmas cards from last year so that I make sure that I send them a Christmas card this year. And then what do you do if you get a card like 3 days before Christmas? Do you send them a card if you didn't already send them a card? You know what? I feel a sneeze coming on. Oh, my nose is... Okay, hold on a second. Oh, please excuse me. I'm so sorry. That's so rude. But, you know, when you sneeze, you gotta sneeze. Oh, that's awful. Sorry about that. Please forgive me. Oh, that's terrible, too. Oh, that's awful. Sorry. I'm not getting a cold or anything. I just had a sneeze. Anyway, back to the Christmas cards. So, the question for me is, do you send Christmas cards to people who send them, you know, who you get them from late? For example, as I said, let's say you get the Christmas card 3 days before Christmas and you didn't send them a Christmas card. Do you quickly put one in the mail to them? I mean, how do you know? Or what do you do? I mean, that's kind of a tough situation. And then here's the other thing I ran into. Okay, you know how everybody always goes to the post office and buys the whatever the Christmas stamp is for the year? Well, this year I bought the snowflake one. Well, I didn't get enough. I only got 25, and I didn't think I was going to be sending out that many Christmas cards. But I ended up sending out 36 Christmas cards. So what was I supposed to do? Quickly run out and get, you know, another 10, 15 stamps? Well, no. I went ahead and put on the old, regular old 39-cent stamp. Now, is that bad because it's not a Christmas stamp? I don't know. Well, you know what we need is like a etiquette for regular people, because I have no idea if I should have done that or just stuck with the stamps. And then do you write their name? Do you, you know, do you fill out the addresses and the little notes inside to the people in different colored ink, or do you stick with a blue ink? Or, you know, because what I did was I wrote notes on the inside in green felt tip pen and wrote the addresses with red. So, you know, it's very hard to figure out what to do with these stupid Christmas cards. And then the thing about the notes is, do you write a note to everybody that you're sending a Christmas card to, or do you just write a simple, I hope all is well, or whatever? It's so hard to figure that out. I just don't know what the etiquette is for these Christmas cards. But my point is that I finally got my Christmas cards done, and I will keep track if, you know, if there's still time between now and Christmas. If I get a Christmas card from someone I did not send one to, I will certainly send them one. You know what I decided to do for next year, and I've already done it? I went on the my iPhoto in the Apple, you know, the Apple software iPhoto, and chose a picture that I took last year of a, you know, a picture of my boyfriend's Christmas tree. I took a really cute picture of the one of the Christmas ornaments and one of the lights. And I went ahead and created my own Christmas card for next year, and I ordered 40 Christmas cards from the Apple iPhoto, you know, how you can order stuff through iPhoto. Of course, it's outrageously expensive, probably three times what I paid for this year's Christmas cards, but they'll be custom, they'll be, you know, specifically from me, it'll be my photograph on the front, you know, so I'll be set for next year. I went ahead and ordered them. I mean, they said they might even get here before Christmas, but and I won't use them this year. I'm definitely going to save them for next year. And I hope they're high-quality cards, too, because the ones I'm sending out this year, not the best. Not the best. I should have done a better job of shopping for cards. Anyway, the Christmas cards are on their way. They're in the mail. If you are special enough to get a Christmas card from Archer Radio, look, you know, check your mail in the next probably 3 or 4 days, and you should have your Christmas card. Anyway, now, speaking of Christmassy kind of things, today was my, let's say, office party. It was the holiday party for the where I work at school. And here's another thing that brings up all kinds of questions. Now, for example, let's say, and I'll try to speak in generic terms. Let's say your office party is scheduled for after office hours. Do you have to go? What if your party is scheduled for during office hours and at work? I think if that's pretty obvious, you would have to go to it. But what if the party that's scheduled for after hours is not at your work? Do you have to go? You know, because here's the thing. I mean, I had a nice time. I only spent about an hour at the party. And the thing is that I don't really care to socialize with the majority of people that I work with. There's this handful of us that I hung out with, and we would, you know, have a great time being silly and all that kind of stuff. But for the most part, the majority of the people that I work with, I don't really care to socialize with. So I tend to avoid all these kind of social situations because I just don't really care for the people, which is probably terrible to say. But so then when it comes to the holiday party, I mean, I have to make a decision. Am I going to go this year? How long will I stay? If it's scheduled for during work hours, do I go? If it's at my school, do I go? If it's elsewhere, do I go? I mean, ugh, I hate it. I absolutely hate it. So anyway, this year I went ahead and went. I had a relatively decent time. Of course, as I said, I only hung out with the people that I socialized with on a regular basis. And I mean, about an hour into it, I'm like, okay, I think I've had enough. And I left. And I don't think it was a big deal. One thing, though, that we had at one lady's house who has this huge house. Well, she turns out to be the assistant principal. And she's obviously rich because she has this $900,000 house. It has probably like 6 bedrooms and 4.5 baths or something like that. The place is just huge. It's like a mini mansion. And I don't know if I'm thinking that she's having the party at her house to show off her house. That's what I first think. But that's probably, you know, just me being pessimistic on my part. But I mean, she does have a gorgeous house and it's beautifully decorated and all of that. But, you know, did we need to have it at your house? Can't we just have it at school in the cafeteria and then make everybody, you know, not feel like they're inferior to your rich ways? I don't know. I'm totally being cynical. I'm terrible. I shouldn't talk like that. But I don't know. I do not like to go to the office party, the office holiday party. Oh, and then the question is, too, do you drink? Do you even drink at the holiday party? I had maybe a fourth of a glass of wine because they had terrible wines there, for one thing. And there was no red wines. It was all white, and it was just, ugh, nasty Chardonnay. Not that I don't like some Chardonnays, but this was cheap, nasty Chardonnay, and I will not say the name of it, but that's the other question. Do you drink at the office party? Because I am not a huge drinker to begin with, but there are some people who I work with who will probably have three or four glasses of wine at the holiday party and make fools of themselves and probably say something that they shouldn't have said. That's embarrassing. And then the thing is, they become the topic of conversation for the next, you know, 3 or 4 days at work. So, I'm just, you know, I don't know about the office party thing. It's totally different in the corporate world, I'm sure. But, I guess at a small workplace, you feel obligated to go. I don't know. I don't like feeling obligated to go. So, anyway, moving right along, I wanted to mention that I got an extremely nice email today from a listener who's been listening for, he tells me, a year. And I was extremely pleased to read all this email. Or I should say, tell you a little bit about it. I'm not going to tell you his name or where he's from or anything like that, because I don't need to give all that information away. But basically, he says he's been listening to Archer Radio for a year, and that he really enjoys the show because he feels that he can relate to so much of what I'm talking about in terms of, you know, as I've mentioned before, that I find my podcast just to be like a journal type, and I just talk about what's going on during the day and, or, you know, whatever's going on in my life. And he says that he can really relate to that because it sounds like I'm just a regular person. I'm not a persona or anything like that. I'm just relating my life to other people through the podcast, and he can relate to it so well. And, we were talking last week about the podcaster malaise and how, you know, podcasters aren't as into it as much anymore. And I said I wasn't feeling that at all. And then when I get an email like this, it reminds me even more so that why I like to podcast, because there are people out there who do listen and can totally relate to, you know, what's going on in my life, because the same kinds of things are going on in their lives. And, you know, do they think about that kind of stuff on a daily basis? Like, you know, I talk about. So anyway, this really nice email goes on to talk about relationships, and this guy's been in a relationship for 33 and a half years. 33 and a half years. He met his boyfriend when he was 17 and his boyfriend was 24. Can you imagine that, being together for 33 and a half years? Well, he writes in the message that he, from listening to the boyfriend and I talk and the way I talk about the boyfriend, he thinks that we're going to be together for a very long time. And I have to tell you, listener who wrote me the email, I won't use your name, but I feel the same way about this relationship. I feel like this one's going to be the one that lasts forever, because I'm just so comfortable with him. We get along so well. Everything is just really, really good. And I think that's amazing that you, as just someone who listens to me talk, can feel the same way and, you know, get the same feeling through my voice or, you know, through what I say, that this relationship's going to last a long time. And I think that's cool that you're able to do that. He also talks about how he is a big TV watcher. He likes Big Brother, and he loves The View, and how I do too. And I'm trying to find an exact quote here. Anyway. Okay, he says, he talks about, I'm not going to quote this exactly, but he says, when I was 15, I had a best friend. We would spend hours on the phone each evening, just bullshitting, talking, and doing one of our favorite things, playing records and both listening at the same time. Then he says, listening to you is sort of like having that connection with his friend again. It says, your daily podcasts are comforting in odd, in some odd sense. So anyway, I just really, really enjoyed this email. It was probably the nicest email I've gotten about listening to the show and being such a faithful listener and relating so well to what I talk about. I mean, you know, as I said, I feel like my stuff is just bullshit and I'm just, you know, rattling off what's going on in my day. But anyway, I'm just so pleased that someone is can relate to it that well. So that really makes me feel really good, and I appreciate the email very much. So you know who you are. I'm not going to say who you are because I don't know if you want me to do that or not, but I really appreciate the email. This is a great time of year to get an email like that. Speaking of email, moving on yesterday's show, Chef Mark and I were talking about, I brought it up at the very end of the show because I really wasn't sure what it was all about, but I talked about how Cynthia McKinney, the Democratic senator, brought up articles of impeachment against George W. Bush, and I didn't really know why that hadn't hit the news and why it wasn't a big deal and so forth, and it, you know, there wasn't anywhere on the news. Well, come to find out, we got a comment from Stevie B, and he explains the whole thing to you, well, to me, and I'm going to write this on, I mean, I'm going to tell you what it says. He wrote, "On the impeachment resolution introduced by departing Congresswoman McKinney, it's simply a political gesture. The 109th Congress adjourned on Friday, early Saturday morning to be precise, and is now over. Every outstanding piece of legislation from the 109th is now dead and would have to be reintroduced when the new Congress convenes in January. Since Ms. McKinney was defeated in a Democratic primary earlier in the year, she will not be a member of the new Congress. As far as senators running for president..." Oh yeah, then he goes on to talk about presidents, senators running for president. But anyway, just to talk about this for just a second. "I didn't realize that the 109th Congress was done. For some reason, I thought they had another week before they took their break. But I guess, hearing this now, it's done. And supposedly, Stevie B either knows direct information about this or works with somebody. I'm not sure. I don't know what the exact connection is. But anyway, he sounds like he knows what he's talking about. And I didn't realize that the 109th Congress was done. So that explains that. And then we went on to talk about, I was talking with Mark about the presidents and how many of them, or how many recent presidents were actually senators. Because I had thought that for the longest time they've all been governors. Well, he goes on to tell me, this guy's obviously a scholar of presidential history, because he, or at least, you know, he knows a lot, let's say that. He says, "As far as senators running for president is concerned, the last sitting senator to be elected president was President Kennedy in 1960. Prior to him, it was President Harding in 1920. Maybe we're overdue, but despite all the candidacies, it looks as if the Senate isn't the best launching pad for the White House." And that's what I agree with. I completely agree with that, Stevie B. And that's kind of what I was trying to say on the podcast yesterday with Mark, was that I don't think that any of these people who are senators now even have a chance of being president. We need somebody totally outside the whole political realm, someone who's totally different, someone who, you know, and maybe that's going to be a governor, who knows. So, and then, of course, we got a comment from, well, I should say that Stevie B. mentioned what kind of pots and pans he has. And Adam from This Boy Elroy also wrote a little comment about the pots and pans and how he has the Calphalon. So I'll be considering all of those things, all of those types for my kitchen, I should say. So Stevie B., thank you so much for that information, because I had no idea what that was all about. I was really hoping to watch the news today and find something about these articles of impeachment. And I do have a feeling that, unfortunately, since she's leaving the Senate, that we will not see articles of impeachment in the new Congress when they start in January, because I don't think Pelosi wants that to go on in the House, and there's nobody now in the Senate who I think is feeling that strong to deal with the articles of impeachment. Anyway, thank you, Stevie B, I should say, for all that information. It was extremely informative, and I appreciate that. Now, I was just talking a minute ago about the cookware and the kitchen, and that people were commenting on the cookware and stuff. And even though it was probably boring for some, I actually did enjoy Mark's information about the different cookware and what kind of stuff I should buy. At the same time, though, I'm starting to gather recipes together for certain things. Like, I'm sure some of you listen to How Much Do We Love, so I've been, I haven't told them this yet, but I'm collecting a couple of the recipes that sound really good from How Much Do We Love with Sarah and Rob Lindley. So, but anyway, so I have this, probably make like a handful of recipes, because my mother has also given me some recipes, some famous family recipes that for years she wouldn't give out because the recipe was too secret and she didn't want anybody having the same thing. So anyway, she gave me these recipes. So anyway, I have all these recipes, and I wanted to create find some kind of software, free, of course. I hate like paying for software, but looking for some free software, or maybe let's say minimally priced software, that would organize and manage all of my recipes. And because here's the thing, I'm not a cook, but there are times when I do want to cook something and I don't have the recipe on hand. So if I had like a piece of software that had a database of these recipes and tell me what I need to buy and so forth, then I would probably be more likely to try to cook something. So now that I have this handful of recipes, I want to start like a cookbook or whatever on my computer where it's all organized and I can just pull it up whenever I want to cook something. And then here's the other thing too. As you know, I have a couple old computers. I was thinking this is probably a terrible idea, but you know, I have my old 20-inch iMac, and I was absolutely considering putting it on the counter in my kitchen and have it right there to pull up all my recipes. If I had the boyfriend's, all of his recipes on the computer, then I would totally be able to do that. But anyway, if you know, I know that Paul in Philadelphia is really good about sending me links to different pieces of software, because just recently he sent me a link to a wine database piece of software that is available for the Mac OS X. It's $30, but it looks pretty good. I just haven't decided if I'm going to buy it yet or not, because I have all my wine currently in just a simple Excel database by year and color and winery and so forth. But if there was like the software that he directed me to was actually pretty good, because you can write your own little review about it and give it some stars or whatever. I really like that. So if there's anybody out there who is familiar with any recipe software, like, to keep your recipes, that also include a shopping list. For example, if you click on three different recipes, it will create a list of what you need to go to the store and buy. That is what I'm really looking forward to. Anyway, so Paul, if you're listening and you're familiar with any kind of software like that, and it has to be for the Mac OS X, because I won't do anything less than that. So I would certainly be interested in that. That would be really cool. And what do you all think about having a computer on your counter in the kitchen? What are your thoughts on that? Because I have my counter right now is completely empty. I have nothing on the counter at all. So I could certainly put a computer on the counter, but I don't know how odd that would look. Anyway, so think about that and tell me what you think. Okay, the last thing tonight is I want to remind you that tonight, Tuesday night, at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, I'm going to get on Skype. Now, I'm not having a Skype cast. I'm going to actually just be on Skype chatting with people, you know, trying to do another gangbang. Although I want to come up with another name for it, because that's kind of gross. But just whoever's online, send me a text message, and I will call you and add you to the conference. Now, I know that Michael from QCast Connecticut has a rehearsal tonight, so he won't be able to do it. But I know that Chef Mark will be there. I'm sure we'll have some others who join in. So if you are interested and you see me online and I like my little message says something like I'm recording or something like that, send me an IM, or, you know, instant message or a text message or whatever through Skype, and I will just say, add me to the conference, and I will add you to the conference. And the thing is, I'm not sure how many people we can have in there, but, you know, we'll do our best, and we're just going to chat about whatever. There's no topics. We can just talk about whatever. Shoot the shit. So hopefully you'll think about joining that if you're free. All right, boys and girls, that's all I have to tell you today. I wanted to thank that listener and for that wonderful email that you sent me. You know who you are. And the Stevie B for the comments, because that was extremely informative. And think about recipe software and joining the Skype call tomorrow night, or tonight. I keep saying tomorrow night. Tonight, Tuesday, 7 p.m. Eastern Time on Skype, Archer Radio. All right, boys and girls, that's all for today. I hope the music wasn't too loud. I enjoyed it anyway, and hopefully you did too. So, boys and girls, until next time, bye.
Ah, 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 ah. Roger Radio.